You ready for takeoff?
Yeah.
All righty, amen. We do want to welcome everyone here this morning. We want to welcome everyone that is watching by Facebook, YouTube today. We pray the Spirit of God would be upon your heart and upon your life today, that His Holy Spirit would touch you. And we do want to welcome everyone here. Well, yesterday I know we celebrated a great event. The birth of our Lord and Savior. And we, you know, like I taught you, we know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was not born on that day. There's no way possible. No way possible because of the feast and the Passover and all that stuff. There's no way possible. But that's okay. But the world stops to recognize that our Savior was what? Born. And that's what we recognize. That's what we recognize, that He was born. And I hope, I pray that everyone had a great Christmas. I hope you got all the presents you wanted, all the things you wanted. I hope so, whatever. But, you know, most of all, I just pray that you spent time with your family and friends and visited and ate a little too much. That's okay. But just had a great time celebrating the birth of our Savior and our Lord. That God became flesh among us, my Lord. Here today, what I want to do is give you the progression of time. From the time our Savior was born, and we did that basically, let's say, yesterday. But I want you to see some things after He was born till His ministry started. Some things that He went through. How God protected Him.
Yes,
and you know, you often think, well, you know, that was God's Son. Yes, He is the Savior of the world. But I tell you what, we are all God's children now. When we accept Him into our hearts and into our lives, that God protects us and has us in the palm of His hand, directing and leading and protecting from the evils of this world, trying to get us to accomplish His will for our lives. Now, you know, Jesus had no sin in Him and never sinned upon the earth. He had no sin nature in his body at all. We have it. And we inherited that from Adam and Eve. But God can make that thing dormant in our hearts and in our lives, that we fulfill the purpose and plan for what God has set for each and every one of us. You know, God just didn't, when we got saved, God just said, oh man, I have to hurry up and make a plan for their lives. No, no, no. He had a plan set before the beginning of time. He knew us by name. He knew our hearts. He knew our lives. That's how precious we are to Him. We are the most precious thing upon the earth today. Humanity. You know, I often tell you, you know, God didn't send His Son Jesus to die upon the cross for the trees and for all the things upon the earth which are great. But He sent His Son Jesus to die upon the earth for humanity because they were lost in their sin, us. And we needed a Savior that we could put our faith and trust in that would forgive us of our sin and set us on a right path to do His will for our hearts and in our lives. Look, I've been saved since I'm 15. I'm only 25 now, no. 56. And let me tell you, I don't know where I'd be without Him. I'm telling you, I don't know. I'm probably 6 feet under pushing up daisies because the mess we would have made of my heart and in my life. But how God did a mighty work and changed the path and did what God wanted us to do. Jesus was born, and we know that, in Bethlehem. That was a mighty miracle there, but we know in Scripture in the Old Testament that God said He would be born in Bethlehem. And God had to set up the scenario for Mary and Joseph to be at the right place at the right time. God sets up scenarios for us, people. We got to trust in him, as the proverb says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and be led by the Spirit of God. That doesn't mean their trip was from Nazareth all the way to Bethlehem was a picnic. It was hard. But you see, God never said things would be easy. God just says, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me. And let me do what I need to do in your heart and in your life and in my heart and in my life. We know at 8 days old, Jesus was brought to Jerusalem to be circumcised. That was what they had to do to all little boys, Jewish little boys. 8 days, his mother and his father brought him to the temple in Jerusalem, and he was circumcised. They went back to Bethlehem. And in 40 days later, they had to go back to the temple. And they had to go back to the temple for two things after 40 days. For the redemption price of the firstborn at a cost of 5 shekels. That means they had to pay a price. It's an amazing thing. You can read it in Numbers. They had to go and bring a price for the boy that was born. 5 shekels. You know how much is that worth now in American money? Now, it might have went up by now because, you know, inflation and all that stuff. $1.59. That's okay. That's good. $1.59. You can't even buy a loaf of bread almost. The other day, I was at Super One Foods early in the morning, more getting stuff, and I passed, and they had Sara Lee bread for 97 cents. I took one. I talked to Jelaine. I went back the next morning, got 3 or 4 more. I said, well, you know what? Thank you, Lord. Things are still okay. Things are okay as you trust in the Lord. And also because of Mary, the ritual purification after childbirth, she had to go and give the price of a dove or 2 pigeons. There was a price that had to be paid, you see. But I want to get to this. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2, page 1762. Praise the Lord. All day yesterday, I kept thinking it was Sunday. I don't know why. I thought it was Sunday, you know. Luke chapter 2. When Mary and Joseph. Now, every time in Scripture was an amazing thing. You know, it never says that. It always says Joseph and his mother Mary. It doesn't say his father Joseph. Because you see, his father was the Heavenly Father. But here they went to the temple after 40 days, and there were certain things they had to do, like I just mentioned. But while they were there, some things happened. You see, let me tell you this. When you get in the groove of what God wants and what God is doing and what God wants to do in your heart and life, which is a tremendous thing, God wants to do tremendous things in all of our hearts and lives because he wants to build that relationship up with us and him. He wants us to trust him with everything, trusting in him that he will lead and guide us. With his son, look at this in verse 25. The prophecy of Simeon. Now, if Mary and Joseph would not have been obedient to what was they needed to do, they would have missed out. Oftentimes, I often think, do we miss out sometimes on the things of God because we're not where God wants us to be? Because we're not where God wants us to be or not in the right place. But look at this. It says, verse 25, let's start reading there. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for Jesus to come. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a word shall pierce through your own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. It says in verse 28, he took him, talking about Jesus, up in his arms and blessed the child. I know the commentary says he took the living word. Can you imagine? Yeah. Joseph and Mary. See, sometimes we don't know. We don't know the things of God sometimes that God has prepared for us. It says that God has prepared good things for us all the time. Now, you know, when we're disobedient, there's certain things that God will let happen. We have to obey him and strive to do the things that the word of God says to do. But it says Mary and Joseph, doing the 40 days that they had to do to go back to Jerusalem, to the temple, to pay the price that needed to be paid for Jesus and for Mary. They walk into the temple, and here is Simeon, a prophet, basically, of God. Led by the Spirit of God, comes into the temple. God had promised Simeon that his physical eyes would see the Savior before he passes away. He was of age, very old in age. Pray. And so here we see God keeps his promises. What God promises to you and what God speaks to you according to his word and the things that he speaks to his children by the Spirit of God on the inside of our hearts. Remember this, God keeps his word. What he spoke to you, he will do it if we stay in the right place at the right time and do what is right. We can bank on it. We know the promises are true and right. And our yes and what? Amen. So be it. That's the power of our God. This guy came in and saw the Savior. And I'm sure Mary and Joseph, you know, they, you know, just being led by God, they had to do the things that needed to be done. It says that he took that baby, Jesus, and he put him in his arms. He grabbed him. Holding the living word. And spoke unto that child. And now he says, now I can depart and leave. Sometimes we think what God has promised unto us, because it takes a little while. It won't happen. Oh Lord, it won't happen. But always remember this, when God promises something, he said he would do it, he will do it. He will do it according to his word. We can bank on it. Can you imagine? I can't imagine how Simeon must have felt to take that baby Jesus and knowing that he is the Savior of the world, knowing that he would die a death like he knew upon the cross, knowing, but you know what? That excitement was in the air for him. Because he knew that God had sent the greatest miracle of all for humanity. And that child was in his arms. Praise God. And he was ready to go and pass away saying, I've seen the glory of the Lord. I've seen what God can do. I've seen it's come. He has come. the miracle. God takes care of those things that he promises you that he will do. He takes care of those things, the things that he speaks to your heart. You take those and you treasure it and you pray about it and you seek God and you ask God to move upon those things. And God will make sure that it happens just like he said it would happen. Simeon got up that morning. He didn't know. It was like any other morning, but he was going to the temple. That's a word right there. He was going to the temple. The temple at that time was their church. God works around the local churches, I'm telling you. That's where God, now does it, you know, God wants to move into it in homes. Oh yes, definitely. But God works in that local church, people. That's the way he set it up. Now you might say, well, man, I don't know some of these. I understand. Hey. But I tell you what, there are a lot of good ones. There are a lot of good ones that the pastors love the Lord. The people love God, and they want God to move. Simeon got up that morning not knowing. See, we don't know when we get up that morning what God has planned for us. Oh, the enemy has something planned for us. Death, hell, and the grave. But God said he's come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. And let me tell you, Simeon got that life, and it was more abundant that day with him because he knew the miracle of God, the Savior of the world, was in his arms there. And he blessed Mary and Joseph, and he said, now I can depart. That means now I can die, knowing God has kept his promise. I wonder if Simeon would get up every morning thinking, will this be the day? Will this be the day? Will this be the day? And I don't know how long it had been since God had promised it unto him. But I wonder how long that he never gave up the faith. Oh, you might say, well, did he get discouraged? I'm sure he did. He was human. I'm sure he thought, oh, Lord, when is this going to happen? You know, I wonder when he got up and there was aches and pains and feeling old. And he said, Lord, you don't have that much time now. Come on now. But that day he got up, something happened. The Savior was in his arms that day. Oh, hallelujah. We don't know what God has in store for every one of us every day. But we know this. God has good things in store for his people. Good things in store for his people, no matter what. Here we see the progression of time that here, you know, he was born in Bethlehem. Oh, at about 8 days of age, he went to the temple in Jerusalem and was circumcised. Then 40 days later, he went up for the purification of Mary and for the 5 shekels that had to be given, $1.59. Then we see something else happen. You know, God will protect us if we allow him to, if we submit to him and say, Lord, your will be done. A decree had gone out almost before Jesus left. It said a decree went out for all the babies to be killed. From 2 years old and under. But God had already taken care of things. Let's look at it. Turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, please. Praise be unto our God. Matthew chapter 2. Look at verse 13 and 14. It says, and when they were departed, and who they are talking about, they're talking about the wise men. You know, they could have been more than three, you know, whatever. We say three because of the three different gifts. But it could have been one, it could, you know, whatever. But they had come and they were departing. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord. Now look at this, people. It wasn't just any angel. It was God himself, the angel, capital A, the angel. Appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. You see, God knew what to do. God knew what Herod was going to happen. What was going to happen? You see, Herod had a pride issue. Herod had an arrogance issue, and he kept hearing a king was coming, and he thought the king Jesus, when he would be born, would take over his kingdom. But that's not how God works. That's not how God worked. He didn't realize that Jesus was coming to save the world of their sins and to die upon the cross and give that perfect sacrifice. But God came before that and said, Joseph, wake up. Now, Mary carried Joseph for all those, that 9 months. Mary did all that. Now, you know, she was just an incubator. Because the Holy Spirit came upon her, he got, you know, Jesus got nothing from Joseph and nothing from Mary. That's why he had no sin nature on the inside of him at all. Because it was the Holy Spirit. She was an incubator. She carried him. And blessed is she, not to worship, but blessed is she for the mission that God gave unto her. My Lord. But it's amazing to me that God wakes up Joseph and said, hey, Joe, in a dream, get up and get out of this place. For you have Herod that's going to be killing all the baby boys, all the babies, really, from 2 on down. What a slaughter that was. And, you know, Joseph gets up, wakes up Mary, wakes up Jesus. You know, they get everything. And they go to another land, the land of Egypt. From we know, from about 40 years of days, we don't know how far down the road, to at least 2, they were in Egypt. My God, they were in Egypt. They were there because God sent them there. They were there because God knows how to protect his people. They were there, and he couldn't protect all the other ones because they was in that land, and a decree went out. And can you imagine when that started to happen? You know, we think of abortion, how horrible that is. Can you imagine in one night the slaughter of thousands of babies? They said the agony and the pain that went forth, I'm sure. And they could do zero about it. Mothers and fathers sleeping and woken up at night to have these men come in and slaughter their children, their babies, right before their eyes. God would not let that happen to his son. He knew what was going to happen. But because of the insecurity of Herod, he had all that done. And you know what? He thought he had accomplished what he wanted. And the enemy thinks that all the time. Every time he comes at you and I, he thinks he has accomplished what he's aimed at doing. But he doesn't realize that our God knows how to outfox him any day of the week. Because he doesn't realize that our God made him and our God knows him and knows what he's made of. And our God has more wisdom, more power, more authority in his little pinky finger here at the tip of it than what old Lucifer has in his whole body. That's the power of our God, that he can make a way where there seems to be no way and come out as God's children, not scathed by the things of this world and the things that the devil will try to do. Because we know all he wants to do to humanity is steal from us, kill us any way he can, and destroy the husband, the mother, and the children. You know why? Because we're made in the image of our God. Every time he looks at you and I, because we've given our hearts and lives to him, we're made in the image of our God. That doesn't mean we're gods at all. Zero. But we're made in the image of our God. And he sees God in us. The one that created him too. And the one that he served at one time, but rebelled against him. and he hates us and wants to destroy. But God can make a way every time. And here we see they took off and went to Egypt. And all that horrible things happened. You see, even in the midst of horrible things happening in the world, God can protect his children. God can protect the things they have. God can protect their minds, their spirits, their souls, and their bodies. That's the power of Almighty God. Now look at this. Let's look at another scripture. And I know I'm going a little fast maybe, and there's a lot of stuff I can't say so much. But look at Matthew chapter 2 again, verse 19. Look at this, starting with verse 19 to 23. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. And when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of him in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. Verse 23, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "He shall be called a Nazarene." And here we see the angel went back to Joseph, the head of the house. Now let me tell you, but God looks at those things. Men, you're the head of the home. You know what that means? We're the head servants. The head servants of that home. That God does look at. Now, that doesn't, hey, God can speak and do and move and by the Spirit of God. But he does look at those things. Man was made first, then Adam, then Eve came. The power of that unit to accomplish what God wants. The angel spoke to Joseph again in a dream and said, "Go back now." And it says, and you know the scripture says that he shall be called what? A Nazarene. It's because when they came back, where did they settle? In Nazareth, a city called Nazareth. And there they stayed till his ministry started at 30 years of age. And from 30 to 33 and a half years, it says that he traveled throughout that area with his disciples, some without, whatever, and went and ministered and healed and did and gave and supplied and fed the 5,000, fed the 3,000, fed all that stuff, healed people, the power of Almighty God. You see, God is in the business of taking care of his people. I know 2022, can you imagine, is around the corner next Saturday. Submit your life to him and see what God can do. Submit your marriage to him and see what God can do. Submit your children to him and see what God can do. Submit everything. That's just like the story I heard one day. An old Indian chief. Some missionaries had gone into a certain area of native Indians, tribes. And they had revival. The power of God, the presence of the Lord. And it says the chief came and walked down the aisle one night and said, "I give you my horse." That was the first thing. And they said, "Okay." And what he was doing, he was trying to bribe God. He gave it to the Lord. And that's good. Then he came back and gave his headdress and gave that the next day to the Lord. And then the last thing, finally, the last day of the revival, he came in and he drew a circle in the front. And he got in it. And he said, "Lord, I give you my all." God is looking for people that will give him their all. He doesn't want us to be wishy-washy. Now, that doesn't mean we don't go through situations. But to be sold out here. when you sold out in your heart to him, the power of Almighty God is leashed out from heaven above. The power of the Holy Spirit is leashed out for you upon this earth to help you accomplish what he wants you to accomplish upon the earth. Don't ever think that you're not important to God, because you are. Y'all often heard this, that it could have been only one human being upon the earth and God would have sent his son to die upon the cross. That's how important we are to him. That's how important. And that's how much he loves us and cares about us. That's how much that we are to submit to him. God says in Acts, and I said in Joel, it talks about in the last days. We know this. We know our Lord and Savior is coming. It says he's coming in Scripture. We're waiting for his arrival anytime. You know, he says the rapture of the church will happen, you know, in the twinkling of an eye. It will happen one day. During the meantime, we serve him. We love him. And we just tell people about him, you know, that the power of the presence of God. And we know all things, all kinds of stuff will happen. But I tell you what, one day it will happen. Just like with Simeon, one day it happened. The presence of Almighty God walked into the temple, and there he was holding the living God in the flesh. One day our Savior is coming. One day. One day. We just keep our faith in him and trust him, saying, Lord, help us to stay firm in you. Help us to stay stable in you, Lord God. Help us to keep our faith and trust in you. Let me tell you this. In Scripture, it says that he is a very attentive to the prayers of his people. Oh, look, that's a great thing. He's very attentive. That means that when you and I pray, or we talk to him. And, you know, and prayer could be, you know, some people like to kneel, somebody, whatever. But prayer can be while you're driving. Prayer could be while you're taking a bath. Prayer can be wherever you are. When you're communicating with God Almighty, that's prayer unto him. That's prayer unto him. And God moves and listens to the prayers of his people. It says the bowl of the saints in Revelations are there, full of prayers. My God. Hallelujah. That we know that our God is saying, pray, seek me. When you seek me, you'll find me. When you seek me, I'll answer you according to my will. Now, the answer might be no sometimes. And that's okay, because he knows what's best for us, for you and I. That's the power of Almighty God, that we trust him, that no matter what's going on in our hearts and lives, that we are trusting in our God, that he knows the best thing for us, that he will do what he needs to do, and we lay down and we stay on that surgery table and we let the Spirit of God work in us. Because I tell you what, God didn't get a bargain when he got us. There's a lot of work in our hearts and lives, but I tell you, he loves us. And he wants us to stay on that surgery table and let him work in us. Take out those things that need to be taken out and put those things that need to be put in us, so we can be molded and made, what? Into the image of our God. We're wanting to be like him and what the word says. To have the fruit of the Spirit working in us and in us and maturing in us and growing in us. Have that fruit, one fruit, with all those nine things growing in us as the power of the Spirit of God is working in us. When you and I got saved, Jesus forgave us of all of our sins. And Jesus came and lives and abides in us. That's the difference from the Old Testament and part of the New, and then where we are today. Back then, the power of God was in the temple, the most holy of holies. That's why when he died, that curtain was ripped from top to bottom, about 6 inches thick, They said it would take a yoke of oxen to tear that thing apart. But the Holy Spirit knows how to do it, because God was saying, I'm not staying in there no more. I'm going to my people. It's not just for the priests anymore, but it's for all my people. Whoever wants me, whoever calls upon me, I'll be there. I'll be in them if they want me. That's the power of Almighty God, that we can trust him knowing that he takes care of things, people. Takes care of things. Just as Simeon, God kept his promise. My God, God kept his promise to Joseph, protecting Jesus and them too, and providing for them. You know, I often said this. Jesus gave them gifts. I mean, the wise men came and gave them him gifts, or the family gifts. God provided gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Very expensive stuff that they were able to take and sell and use and bargain. And let me tell you this, God will provide as we take care of the things that God puts in our hearts and lives. As we give, as the word says, God will provide. Look, we get the best end of the stick with our God. We get the best end. He loves us. He takes care of us. He provides for us. How much more do we want? He answers our prayers. My God. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit with us all the time now, in us and through us. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Next week, we'll be talking about the first of the year and God moving in those areas. Amen. Thank you for your attentiveness this morning. Amen. Would you please stand? Amen, amen. As every head is bowed, every eye closed.